near the Mount of Olives. Jesus sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' just say this, 'The Lord needs it,' and we'll send it back here immediately." They went away and found a colt tied near a door outside in the street. As they were untying it, some of the bystanders said to them, "What are you doing, untying the colt?" They told them what Jesus had said, and they allowed them to take it. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut in the fields. Then those who went ahead and those who followed were shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest heaven." Then he entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. And when he had looked around at everything, as it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. We praise you, O God, for redeeming the world through our Savior, Jesus Christ. Today he entered the holy city in triumph and was proclaimed Messiah and King by those who spread garments and branches along his way. Bless these branches and those who carry them. Grant us grace to follow our Lord in the way of the cross so that, joined to his death and resurrection, we enter into life with you. Do the same, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us go forth in peace.
Accept the prayers we bring, great author of all goodness, O good and gracious King. All glory, Lord, and honor to your Redeemer King, to whom the lips of truth made sweet hosannas ring.
As we now enter into the contemplation, the passion of our Lord Jesus Christ, and meditate on the salvation of the world through his sufferings, death, and burial, and resurrection, let us pray. Everlasting God, in your endless love for the human race, you sent our Lord Jesus Christ to take on our nature and to suffer death on the cross. In your mercy, enable us to share in his obedience to your will, and in the glorious victory of his resurrection, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. You may be seated.
A first reading is from Isaiah. The Lord God has given me the tongue of a teacher, that I may know how to sustain the weary with a word. Morning by morning, he wakens my ear, to listen as those who are taught. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I did not turn backward. I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who pulled out the beard. I did not hide my face from insult and spitting. The Lord God helps me, therefore I have not been disgraced. Therefore I have set my face like flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me? Let us stand up together. Who are my adversaries? Let them confront me. Is it the Lord God who helps me, who will declare me guilty? The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We will be reading the psalm responsively. Congregation, please read the bold print. Have mercy on me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. My eye is consumed with sorrow, and also my throat and my belly.
My life is wasted with grief, and my years with sighing, and strength fails me because of affliction, and my bones are consumed.
I am the scorn of all my enemies, a disgrace to my neighbors, a dismay to my acquaintances. When they see me in the street, they avoid me.
Like the dead, I am forgotten. I am blind. I am as useless as a broken heart.
For I have heard the whisperings of the crowd. Fear is all around. They put their heads together against me. They plot to take my life. My times are in your hand. Rescue me from the hand of my enemies and from those who persecute me. A second reading from Philippians. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The word of the Lord.
Passion of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
As soon as it was morning, the chief priests held a consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole council. They bound Jesus, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate. Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" He answered him, "You say so." Then the chief priests accused him of many things. Pilate asked him again, "Have you no answer? See how many charges they bring against you?" But Jesus made no further reply, so that Pilate was amazed. Now at the festival, he used to release a prisoner for them, anyone for whom they asked. Now a man called Barabbas was in prison with the rebels who had committed murder during the insurrection. So the crowd came and began to ask Pilate to do for them according to his custom. Then he answered them, "Do you want me to release for you the king of the Jews?" For he realized that it was out of jealousy that the chief priest had handed him over. But the chief priest stirred up the crowd to have him release Barabbas for them instead. Pilate spoke to them again, "Then what do you wish me to do with the man you call king of the Jews?" They shouted back, "Crucify him." Pilate asked them, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they shouted all the more, "Crucify him." So Pilate, wishing to satisfy the crowd, released Barabbas for them, and after flogging Jesus, he handed him over to be crucified. Then the soldiers led him into the courtyard of the palace, that is, the governor's headquarters. And they called together the whole cohort, and they clothed him in a purple cloak. And after twisting some thorns into a crown, they put it on him. And they began saluting him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" They struck his head with a reed, spat upon him, and knelt down in homage to him. After mocking him, they stripped him of the purple cloak and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him out to crucify him. They compelled a passerby who was coming in from the country to carry his cross. It was Simon of Cyrene, the father of Alexander and Rufus. Then they brought Jesus to the place called Golgotha, which means the place of a skull. And they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. And they crucified him and divided his clothes among them, casting lots to decide what each should take. It was 9 o'clock in the morning when they had crucified him. The inscription of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." And with him they crucified two bandits, one on his right, one on his left. Those who passed by derided him, shaking their heads and saying, "Aha! You who would destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself and come down from the cross." In the same way, the chief priests, along with the scribes, were also mocking him among themselves and saying, "He saved others. He cannot save himself. Let the Messiah, the King of Israel, come down from the cross now, so that we may see and believe." Those who were crucified with him also taunted him. When it was noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. At 3 o'clock, Jesus cried with a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of the bystanders heard it, they said, "Listen, he's calling for Elijah." And someone ran, filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on a stick, and gave it to him to drink, saying, "Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come and take him down." Then Jesus cried out and breathed his last. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Now when the centurion who stood facing him saw that in this way he breathed his last, he said, "Truly, this man was God's son." Beloved children of God, this is the good news, the gospel of our Lord. You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Much to ponder as we enter into Holy Week. And much of the story that many of us are familiar with, I'm sure we wonder, how does this familiar story still intersect in our lives and in our world today? And it does. And in some ways, there could be a disadvantage with such a familiar story that we take it for granted. We just go through the motions. But it definitely speaks to us in our world and in our lives that the living God continues to call us to follow him to the way of love, the way of the cross. When Paul writes the letter to the Philippians, it's a context that we should really be taking a moment to ponder here, that the elite in Philippi were descendants of Roman military leaders. My seminary professor, one of my New Testament seminary professors, Dr. Richard Carlson, points out that the people of Philippi would have been proud Roman citizens who control the city. They control the economy, the entire competitive system for social honor. It's a robust imperial cult which regularly celebrated the lordship of Caesar. Paul has a different focus in Philippians when he talks about the lordship of Christ. Suffering and selflessness are the focus for Paul. In part of the Christ hymn that we got in our reading from Philippians, we see the humiliating downward trend of Christ, right? In Lent, we had the image of God so loved the world that he sent his son, that Christ goes down for us, descends to low places for us. We heard it in the Passion, the irony of the judge being judged by Pilate. And then he goes even lower. He's going to die and descend into the dead or descend into hell, depending on your translation. I personally love to say that Jesus goes to hell and back for us. I think that has a little bit of a punch to that. But Christ taking on our humanity and going so low for us gives us an image that there's nowhere in this world, nowhere in the universe, that you can go to evade God's love. One of the images I love is that if you run away from the Father, you're going to run into the Son, right? This is how God wraps us into God's love, that there's nothing you cannot be forgiven for. I've even heard people say that Jesus on the cross and in invoking Psalm 22, my God, why have you forsaken me, is the moment God becomes an atheist, right? Play with that for a second. The moment that God feels the sense of abandonment, as if God is no longer there, that Jesus would enter into God-forsaken places for our sake, that if you've ever felt lost and abandoned by God, if you've ever had that feeling, Jesus knows that feeling and is there with you, even if you can't feel it, even if you can't see it, God goes to God-forsaken places with us in Jesus Christ. Philippians chapter 2, verse 6, who though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking on the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. Sounds beautiful, doesn't it? But there's a powerful political punch there
because this is a status claim that runs parallel to the empirical claims of Caesar, because Caesar was seen to be in the form of manifestation of divinity on earth. But Paul is saying that that Christ is anti-empire. This is an anti-empire Christological claim to those Christians in Philippi that are living in an intense imperial colony. Jesus empties himself, taking on the form of a slave. Would Caesar do that? Would elites in the day of the Philippians do that? Would elites in our day and in our context do that? Associate themselves with the lowly of society. Today we commemorate Bishop Oscar Romero, who was Bishop of El Salvador. He committed himself to the poor and the persecuted. He spoke out against the government's abuse of human rights. The press attacked him. He had to deal with people in his country just disappearing. Clergy were being killed. And on March 24th, 1980, he was shot dead while celebrating Mass in the chapel of the hospital where he lived. He calls us, Romero said, aspire not to have more, but to be more. He said, the church is the people of God in history. It's not attached to any one social system, to any political organization, to any party. The church does not identify herself with any of those forces because she's the eternal pilgrim of history and is indicating at every historical moment what reflects the kingdom of God and what does not reflect the kingdom of God. We are not a people that get caught up in the way of political parties, governments, and empires of today. We get caught up in the way of Jesus and the way of the cross. Romero has been seen by Christians around the world as being a voice to the voiceless. And as we enter Holy Week and begin to reflect on the passion of our Lord Jesus Christ, we can begin to reflect on the solidarity that Christ has had with all of humanity. How Jesus could see and lift up the lowly and the oppressed, how he humbled himself for our sake and has been faithful and obedient, even to death on a cross for our sake. In our bulletin, there's a quote from Oscar Romero as part of his commemoration, which says, let us be today's Christians. Let us not take fright at the boldness of today's church. With Christ's light, let us illuminate even the most hideous caverns of the human person. Torture, jail, plunder, want, chronic illness. The oppressed must be saved, not with a revolutionary salvation in mere human fashion, but with the holy revolution of the Son of Man, who dies on the cross to cleanse God's image, which is soiled in today's humanity, a humanity so enslaved, so selfish, so sinful. It's a powerful image. It's a powerful word for us to ponder today, particularly as we enter into Holy Week of all weeks. Because Romero points us right to the cross, the source of meaningful healing, the source of meaningful wholeness for society, for the world, and for our individual lives. Christ uses the cross to exalt Christ and us with him. Now there's a practice in Judaism where you don't say the word of God, the name of God out loud. You don't say Yahweh out loud. So when it appears, you substitute Yahweh for Adonai, which means Lord. So there's something else that Paul's doing here in his letter to the Philippians. Not just putting Caesar in his place, but that Greek word for Lord is Kyrios. So another profession of faith is being made when he says that Jesus Christ is Lord of all. That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord over all creation. As Dr. Carlson writes, thus the hymn guts, the Christ hymn here in Philippians, guts the imperial attitude, actions, and claims of the empire. It rejects its counterfeit Lord, and its ruling elite, including those of the Roman colony of Philippi. At the same time, the hymn establishes and celebrates the divine political and social reality of selflessness, non-exploitation, and cruciformity, reflecting God's true character in and through Christ. In turn, those who now live in Christ's reality also embody Christ's own attitude and action of selflessness, non-exploitation, and cruciformity. The hymn, what we just heard in Philippians, thus reveals how God has made the crucified Christ the Lord of the universe, and since Christ is Lord, Caesar cannot be. Now, in the passion narrative in Mark that we heard, we hear how Jesus was being mocked for not saving himself. But the function of the cross turns the world upside down. On the cross, evil is destroyed with love, power is found in meekness, and death ensures life. Now, I've been referring to that bookend imagery in Mark's gospel throughout the year, so I'd be remiss not to remind you of it again, that at Jesus' baptism, how the heavens were torn in two from top to bottom. And we just heard in Mark's passion, the temple curtain torn in two from top to bottom. That nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Those barriers in heaven and on earth have been destroyed. And if you read Mark's gospel, you'll notice that Jesus does not want anyone to know who he is throughout the gospel. Scholars refer to it as the messianic secret. But here, right at the end of what we heard today in that passion narrative, the centurion proclaims that Jesus is truly God's son when he breathes his last. A statement that his identity is revealed on the cross. Notice how earlier in the passion, people say, hey, if you get down from there, we'll believe. But it's on the cross the centurion could see it. It's not through the miracles of Jesus, it's not through the teachings or the feeding, but it's primarily through the work of the cross that makes a political statement on whose kingdom is reigning, whose kingdom will reign supreme, and how it functions in the world today and in the world to come. That it's not the way of this world, and that the way of the cross calls us to love, to meekness, and to point to a way of new life. Beloved children of God, as we enter Holy Week, may we walk with Jesus to the cross and celebrate the good news that we are joined to him in death, rise to him to new life, now and forever. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please rise as you're able.
believe in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified and died and was buried. He descended to death. On the third day he rose again. He ascended to heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life of the rest. Trusting in God's promise to reconcile all things, let us pray for the church, the well-being of creation, and the world in need. Blessed One, today the church sings glad hosannas as we enter Holy Week. Prepare us to bear witness to Christ's suffering and death endured for our sake. Gather your people around the cross and comfort us with resurrection hope. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Renew your good creation and protect the balance of life on earth. Encourage the work of foresters, scientists, arborists, gardeners, and river keepers. We pray for the health of pollinating insects, songbirds, and native plants. Hear us, O God. Establish peace and justice among the nations. Hold to account any with authority to judge others. Grant that courts, legislatures, and governments will serve with integrity and compassion. Hear us, O God. Bring hope to any who feel forsaken or forgotten. Make a way for refugees and asylum seekers. Reunite families enduring separation. We pray for any who are incarcerated, institutionalized, or in foster care, that they may know your love. We pray for those who are ill, especially Charlie, Susie, Scott and Connie, John, Dan, Ellen, Dixon, Brent, Debbie, Paul, Candace, Cheryl, Dave, Mackenzie, and newborn Kira, Chip, Angela, Theodore and family, Julie, Owen, Bill, Jeff, Jim, and our homebound. Hear us, O God. Give energy and joy to our pastor, deacons, and worship leaders, and musicians. We pray for Daniel, our bishop, Elizabeth, our presiding bishop, Adam, our pastor and conference dean, all pastors, deacons, and all who minister in Christ, and for all the holy people of God. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Blessed One, our time in your hands. Sustain us in discipleship throughout our lives and receive us into everlasting life. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Accompany us on our journey, God of grace, and receive the prayers of our hearts through Jesus Christ, our Savior. The peace of Christ be with you always. Let us share with one another a sign of God's peace.
heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with your free Spirit.
Let us pray. God, our provider, you have not fed us with bread alone, but with words of grace and life. Bless us and these your gifts, which we receive from your bounty. Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your heart. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right and good.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior, Jesus Christ, whose suffering and death gave salvation to all. You gather your people around the tree of the cross, transforming death into life. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name, and join their unending hymn.
Holy, holy,
holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Blessed are you, O God of the universe. Your mercy is everlasting, and your faithfulness endures from age to age. Praise you for creating the heavens and the earth. Praise you for saving the earth from the waters of the flood. Praise you for bringing the Israelites safely through the sea. Praise you for leading your people through the wilderness to the land of milk and honey. Praise you for the words and deeds of Jesus, your anointed one. Praise you for the death and resurrection of Christ. Praise you for your Spirit poured out on all nations. In a night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." With this bread and cup, we remember our Lord's Passover from death to life as we proclaim the mystery of faith. O God of resurrection and new life, pour out your Holy Spirit on us and on these gifts of bread and wine. Bless this feast. Grace our table with your presence. Reveal yourself to us in the breaking of the bread. Raise us up as the body of Christ for the world. Breathe new life into us. Send us forth burning with justice, peace, and love.
Come, Holy Spirit.
with your holy ones of all times and places, with the earth and all its creatures, with sun and moon and stars. We praise you, O God, blessed and holy Trinity, now and forever. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory.
Come to the banquet, for all is now ready. You may be seated. This time I'd like to invite forward those who are helping with the distribution of the sacrament and those who are participating in Children's Church. Distribution of the sacrament will be continuous method of intinction. We'll have stations of consecrated wine on both sides of the congregation. Grape juice will be on the lectern side. You'll get a consecrated host and dip it into the chalice of your preference. An usher will also release you forward. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Christ is present here and he offers himself to you. That's fine.
Body of Christ given for you. The 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 body of Christ. Body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ given for you. May the Lord bless you and keep you and bring you everlasting life. The body of Christ given for you. 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 Body of the body of Christ given for you. 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 Dip it right now. The body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ given for you. Pray coming down. He came down already. He blended right in. We need to get Kenny. He came up. Man, I don't know who I did. I don't know who I did today. The body of Christ given for you. Great kisses with the body of Christ given for you. Yeah, you can set that down. Body of Christ given for you. Body of Christ given for you. Yeah, don't touch it. Don't touch that. The body of Christ given for you. The blood of Christ given for you.
Please rise. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you, keep you in his grace. Call forward the choir at this time.
Lord, walk with me.
When my head is bowed in sorrow, Lord, I want Jesus to walk with me.
Let us pray. Compassionate God, you have fed us with the bread of heaven. Sustain us in our Lenten pilgrimage. May our fasting be hunger for justice, our alms a making of peace, and our prayer the song of grateful hearts. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Amen.
Announcements for the good of the community?
As Christ sends us out into the world, let us recite the mission God has given us. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever.